Radio. Let's get soft if you wanna get soft with it.
Sometimes you feel you gotta love somebody, and that somebody is you. Sometimes we feel we need to touch somebody, touch somebody before we're through. So take my hand and spin me in and hang me in emotions, man. I'll tell you where I think we stand.
Let's get soft if you want to get soft with it.
Welcome to Emotional Hangs, a podcast we're now doing with the Feral Podcast Network. Very happy to be here. Thank you, Feral, for having us. I'm Joe DeRosa.
I'm Kurt Brownoler.
And this is the podcast about adult
friendships.
Yes.
And emotions.
Yes. And have we explained yet on one of the new episodes where the title came from?
No, we have not.
The title came from, I ran into Kurt at a party. It was a rap party for, I believe it was the Riot Fest,
yeah,
which is a comedy festival out here in L.A., I don't know, roughly 2 years ago. And, you know, we were all having a few cocktails at that point. And Kirk kept doing a thing to me where he thought it was really funny to act like he was going to punch me right in the face. And then when I would react terrified, like a normal human being.
He would be terrified.
Because Kurt's giant, and he would then pull me in and hug me and be like, "What are you doing? I'd never hurt you, man." And he did that
just fucking straight up lunatic behavior.
Did that like four times, and then at the last time he hugged me and he goes, "I love you, buddy. We have emotional hangs." And then the next day we discussed it, and Kurt said, "That's a podcast somehow,
right?
That title."
And so this is Emotional Hangs, where we're going to get vulnerable. We're going to get soft.
Yeah. On the count of three. One, two, three.
Let's get soft.
Yeah, this is a safe space. This is the safe space.
This is the weirdest safe space in the world. So Joe and I actually hung out socially this weekend.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't done that in a while,
No, we haven't done that in a while. And we had a nice... I actually think we should save that for the bulk of our conversation. I kind of think we should launch off with a segment here.
I'm into it.
Okay. We have different emotional segments on this podcast.
Yeah.
And this is, by the way, this is all very sincere. It's funny because it's two adult men doing it. But, I mean, this is all very sincere. We're not doing any of this ironically.
Can I give you an update?
Please.
I've called. Okay, so on our first podcast, I decided, because Joe suggested it, really, that I should go to therapy.
Yes.
You actually said something along the lines of anyone I know, you should be going to therapy.
Well, and let me clarify that statement.
Yes.
It's not because I think you need to go. I do think it would be helpful to you, but I also think that you get it. Like, I was shocked that you don't go, because I'm like, out of all the guys I know, like, you're one of the guys that really, I feel like, would understand therapy.
Okay, that makes more sense than I deeply need it. I mean,
you do deeply need it, but you would also get it.
But here, and that's the thing about it, is that I don't see the need for it. Do you know what I mean? And maybe that means I'm so blinded to my own fucked upness that I simply can't see it. Or it's going to turn out that I go a few times and I'm like, yeah, I get this elsewhere in my life by talking to friends.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm sure you've got it all figured out. And I have a line in my act right now about this, about who are these people with the audacity to think they don't need therapy? How dare you?
I'm one of them right here. And
okay, go ahead, sorry.
No, I mean, I just have never, you know, and we talked about this a little before. I don't know anybody who's ever done therapy, really. I mean, I know comedians who do therapy, but that's the only people I know who
that's
do therapy.
Here's why I'm so shocked about that. Because we came out of different scenes in New York. I came out of the more club scene, and you came out of the sort of quote alternative unquote scene, which is the downtown East Village artsy scene. I would figure that you would have been surrounded by people going to therapy and exploring their emotions and things like that.
Yeah, just comedians, though. Like, I don't know any other people who aren't comedians. Like, every friend I have that's not a comedian doesn't go to therapy.
Well, I think the reason for... Me, too. I can say the same. But I think the reason for that is people that work regular jobs and have regular problems probably don't have time for it, you know?
Makes sense.
I know this, you know, I feel very lucky that I don't have to report somewhere every morning for 9 hours or whatever. And if I did have to do that, when I've had to do that, and I've had to do that in comedy when I've had writing jobs and stuff for shows that weren't mine, it's a job. And you come home and you're like,
Go
fuck yourself. Anybody that needs anything out of me
for
right
10
now.
Year, for 10 years, I had full-time job in an office. And oh, my God. Every single day, I considered not necessarily suicide, but like some like just had a thought of like, how does this end? You know, like I don't want to murder myself, but I also I wanted to find some way. For like, I would think like, if the train got into an accident and I had to go to the hospital, it would be better than going to work.
And these are the years before you had your nice little convenient podcasts, people, to get you through the day.
Exactly.
There were no podcasts back then. This was just sit there and deal with it.
So I've taken Joe's advice. I've called a therapist. I left a message for her, and she called me back, and I'm going to set up an appointment.
What's her name?
I don't know.
Do you really not know?
Yeah, I mean, I have a message from her that I haven't listened to yet.
Okay, because I go to one in our neighborhood that I can walk to.
Yeah, I think it's probably the same woman.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Well, I'll have to get all your dirt from her during
I mean, I don't think that's how it works. Because if that's how it works, I'm not going to go.
No, it doesn't work like that. Okay, so...
So we're into our first segment here, which is called Vulnerability Corner.
Yes. And this is a segment where we each read a journal entry.
A journal entry.
Past, correct?
From our past, from our deep past. And then we'll discuss it and also make fun of each other for our vulnerability.
Right.
Okay. This is like a deep one. This is almost 7 years ago.
So you were 33?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't believe it starts off with this line.
Okay.
The mornings hurt the most. Why that is, I do not know. The evenings, even sober, are fine. Read a book and go to bed. The mornings are sad and lonely. I almost lost it trying to pick out a card for my dad for Father's Day. All the cards seemed way too earnest and emotional. They seemed fake. Are dads really that important to other people?
Oh my God. Seriously.
Based on the cards, dads watch TV, nap, barbecue, like cars, golf, and tractors, and are really meaningful. Going to look at an apartment in Ditmas Park. Slept with a girl last night, feeling hollow and empty.
Oh, my God. Jesus.
And that was after I got laid. I got laid the night before, and I still felt like that.
But you know that you weren't getting laid under... I could tell from that journal entry that you were not getting laid under healthy circumstances.
Oh, no.
It was probably half in the bag, blacked out almost.
Like, I mean, I can't... Slept with a girl. Like, I don't even know who this... I have no... What is this? This 7 years ago... I had no idea.
Now, did you write this in front of her? She got at this point.
Woke up next to her and was just like, the mornings hurt the most.
I said all this to her, and then she said you should write it down. And then I wrote it down. That's the day you started your journal.
Yeah, I started my journal because this girl didn't want to listen to it anymore.
Well, you've answered some of my questions already because I was...
What?
The first question I was going to say, before you got to the part where you said I slept with a girl, I was going to say, is this after or before you met your wife?
Oh, before.
Yeah. Obviously. Because I don't know how long... How long have you been together the whole thing, including the dating part?
Well, if this was I was going to look at an apartment in Ditmas Park, that also means... This is before I got my one studio apartment that I was living in by myself. So that means I'd broken up with, I was on someone's couch during this time. I was homeless during this time. So I had broken up with the person who I had been dating for 2 years and she kept the apartment. And so I was like between places. So I was like literally crashing at people's houses. So that's
and you still managed to get laid. Kudos.
Oh yeah, I was a real piece of shit. I definitely brought women back to multiple friends' houses Even in places where there's no door to their bedroom.
I'm not judging the fact that you rudely brought girls back to a friend's house where you're crouching on the couch. I'm applauding the fact that you managed to get a girl into the apartment and she saw the situation and didn't run away. That's some serious game you have, my friend.
I mean, it was multiple times, too, where it was just like, I guess this is, you know, the weirdest circumstances were when I was having like kind of my Rumspringa kind of moment in my life. I was a mess here 3 years before this. Whoa. What, like a real mess.
Worse
than this. I was squatting in an office that my buddy was the superintendent for, and he just knew that the guy whose office it was wouldn't be back for a month and that I could stay there, but it was unheated in February in New York City, and I just had like three space heaters that if they ran for like 3 hours, it would get up to like 60 degrees. And I was crashing on the ground.
There was no option in call home and say, can I please borrow some money?
No, the amount of money I would have required. And also, it's like, this was like this secret thing. Do you know what I mean? This was like this secret Rumspringa. I couldn't.
Well, to explain to the audience what a Rumspringa is.
I keep saying that. So I dated a woman for 13 years, from age 18 to 31. And then at 31, in order to decide whether or not we're going to get married, I was like, why haven't we ever talked about getting married one day? And she was like, well, I think we should sleep with other people before we decide to get married. And I was like, okay, I'm into that. And then we weirdly just set a time. And on January 3rd, we just like separated for a month and then tried to fuck as many people as we possibly could in that month. Mm-hmm. And then, after a month, we got back together and she was like, I need more time. And I was like, I do too. So we did it for another month. And then on the third month, I went to Australia for a comedy festival and met someone, fell in love, and then came back and we broke up. And then I ended up dating this Australian.
Wow.
So it was a real lunatic time. Like that was like, the emotions were crazy.
You've had more substantial relationships in relationships than I've ever had. Period.
Wait, relationships in... relationships
like,
with
like
women.
You found like a relationship inside of another relationship.
Oh, yeah.
Both being substantial, and I've never made it past 8 or 9 months.
Yeah. Look at this. We're on the opposite sides of the extremes.
We are.
Yeah, serial monogamous.
Here's another opposite side of the stream we're on.
Wow.
I never kept a journal, because I'm not a giant pussy.
I've been waiting for this when I suggested this topic as a segment. I've been waiting for Joe to get into me about the little lady man who keeps a journal. But I'm also shocked that you don't keep a journal because I you know what? I've kind of stopped doing it. But the reason I would keep it is because it's my comedy book. It's not a journal. Do you know what I mean? But then I would write. You know, just if I couldn't think of like jokes and stuff, I would just like write what was going on.
You would
on.
Write the saddest thing that ever occurred
yes,
to you?
Yes, I got you. Hoping just to get some nugget of fun out of that.
I mean, a journal approaching mid-30s.
Yeah, this is not a 70. See, that's the thing though. I went through essentially my late teen years and all of my 20s in my early 30s. Okay. Because I'd been with the same woman from 18 to 31, I was essentially like, in dating terms, I was like an 18-year-old when I was like dating again at 31.
Right.
I was just, delayed.
I'll do a fake one.
Yeah.
That would be my version of that.
Okay.
Hey, guys. It's morning time again. I'm hungover as shit, but I got laid last night, so that's pretty awesome. Going to look at this apartment today. It'll probably be a shithole, but at least I'll get to bang off of somebody else's couch for a while. No, that wouldn't be it. I equally get as dejected and depressed as you did at that time, and I still do. Now, I do have this thing on my phone called Thoughts.
Somebody doesn't have a journal, but they have a
random
section
thoughts.
Of their phone for thoughts.
Random thoughts.
I wonder what a journal is. Is a journal a book for thoughts?
Well, here's the thing.
You fucking piece of shit.
Here's the thing. These are more social commentary things that I jot down.
Ooh, I can't wait for Joe to give it to society.
No. Fuck you.
Here comes the rapier wit of DeRosa skewering society.
What I was going to say before you started making fun of me was, you can, though, you hear my heart in this, though.
Okay.
You hear it's, I try to act like these are just commentaries, but you can kind of hear.
Yeah.
So I'll read one of these. This is, I think, the oldest one in here. The thing with most people is they all want to stand for something until they actually have to stand for it. Then they lie down. Lying down takes less effort. And that's what most people are after, minimal effort. The next time you need to lean on someone's shoulder, don't be surprised when it's not there. It's on the ground, which is where you're going to end up.
Holy shit! And the best part about this is that this is probably, like, it sounds almost like it's written about, like, some great cause, like civil rights or something like that. But it's probably just about, like some very minutia bullshit, right?
Yeah, it's about the guy at, like, the Boston Market telling me he didn't feel like making more cream spinach or so. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, who knows what tiny thing set it off.
Yeah.
But I remember typing this in my car. I'm 39, and I probably when I was 36, and just being furious. And then from there on out, like keeping, this is a very long list of random thoughts in here.
Uh-huh. But also that what you're saying is very true in the fact that I think standing up for something, especially when it becomes like annoying and tiny, like all the little pieces just start to like build up. So it's like, you just feel like you're being unreasonable by insisting on this thing that you believe in.
Yes.
I think is one of the most difficult things
well,
to do.
Well, I think, these were written during a time period where a lot, not all of them, but a lot of them were written during a time period where I was between New York and LA. I was newer to LA and I didn't like LA. I didn't want to go back to New York. So I felt like a man without a country.
So this is recent.
About 3 years ago.
Okay.
When I was trying to figure out, now I really like LA and I finally, but here's one. This is a real fast one. LA is a pulsing wound that refuses to heal. New York is a gash inviting you in.
I'm surprised you didn't name your special that.
The gash.
The gash that invites you
in. Yeah, it was just like, because I felt like New York was like this, like, at that time, I felt like New York was like, had burned me. I felt like it was like, almost like a disease.
You were holding something against a whole city.
It was almost like, as a straight man, I was picturing it as a diseased vagina that was luring me in and being like, come have sex with me. It'll be great. And then when I did, I ended up with like diseases from it. And then I was picturing
so dark.
And then I was picturing LA as a thing that just refused to heal itself. Like it's this sore that's like oozing and bleeding, but yet it's like I will never heal my it was dark. It was not a bright time.
And I also think that is interesting that these are just your thoughts and they're so angry because on stage a lot of your comedy is very angry.
Yeah.
And I think we've talked about this in the past that you, like your public persona is very angry, but as a person, you are, just like very vulnerable, kind man.
Thank you. Thank you very much. You are the same, but you are also that on stage. No, my comedy, my expression, I should say, it's changed a bit in recent years. My special, for instance, I feel like the special I have coming out is a real turning point for me because it takes on a new tone.
Mm-hmm.
It's still pointed and it's still biting, but it's not aggravated.
Okay.
It's not me yelling. It's more just like, oh, we're fucked, man. You know, it's way more just like, what are you going to do? And then also this new year, was a turn for me because I think with the state of everything right now, politically and socially, people are upset and people are scared and people don't know what to do. And I think that goes for people on both sides of the political coin. I think people are reacting out of fear to a lot of things right now. And I made it a very conscious effort. I actually said to Kristen the other night. I made a very conscious effort to start expressing the more positive things that I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yesterday was Martin Luther King Day. I don't know when this is going to drop. And I wrote a tweet. I didn't send it. Whereas a year ago, I would have sent this and not even thought twice about it. But I wrote a tweet, like it was a fake quote. And it said, now that I got that MLK tweet out of the way, I can get back to my selfies and and promotion or whatever, yeah. Right? And then I wrote, and I described the quote to anybody in your feed this applies to, right? And I think that's an accurate commentary, but I didn't do it because I was like, you know what, man? Like, I'm really putting a governor on the negative stuff I express.
Yeah.
Or the stuff that's not positive, at least, that I express.
And also, I've just been noticing this at Hot Tub, which is a weekly show that I host, comedy show, is that the amount that, especially right after the election, where it was just like every comic, all they were talking about was like how fucked we are. And it would be, by the like fourth comic, the audience would be visibly weary from it.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that it's like, we came out to because we're scared and we just want to have some time where we don't have to think about how fucked we are for an hour and a half. You know?
I had a lot of stuff that was my take on it initially was me saying like, he's the president we deserve. This fucking stupid country. We finally got what was coming to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I just stopped and I was like, nobody wants to hear that right now.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to hear that. What the fuck do I know? Who am I? And then I switched it up and now like, I have a couple political, I have a couple Trump jokes in my head, but they're like funny jokes. Like, yeah. it's like, I like watching, I'm not a fan of Trump, but I like watching him in interviews because he does like the shittiest version of the Jedi mind trick when he's challenged with something, you know? Yeah. So they'll be like, Russia tampered with the election. You'll be like, no, they didn't. Shut up. You're fat. You know?
The dumbest version of it.
Yeah. So like, yeah. And that's like a very jovial, funny observation about him. Because, I don't know, I just think if you're going to speak out on anything like this right now, again, on either side, you really should have, you know, there's been too many loose opinions and pundits. Mm-hmm. We need a few more experts from the parties talking to us at this point. It's been too much editorializing. So anyway, but aside from that, I think it's good to... I also just think as a human being, like, that's a thing I've been trying to do. Like, just be better at small talk.
Oh, man.
I'm bad at it.
I'm really bad. I just wrote that down, actually, in my comedy book recently, which was that I was at a party. It was a day after New Year's. It was a New Year's Day party. And I just found myself, like, in small talk and panicking mm-hmm. internally.
Right.
And then I was like, I got to take a break. And I literally like went to the bathroom and just like sat in the bathroom for a little while. And I was like, why do I hate this so much? And I was like, I just got to be present. And I like kind of went back in. I was like, I'm just going to be present. Because the reason when I panic is when I think like, when I start thinking about the conversation, like how much longer is this going on? Am I laughing enough? Like what's happening?
Right.
Where it's just like, I just go, okay, I'm just going to ask a question that I actually give a shit about. And then I'm going to really try and be present and listen to the person's answer. And then that all of a sudden turned the whole party around. I also think it was because too, I was like, I wasn't drinking. And I think like drinking at parties makes that small talk shit much, much easier. When you're not drinking and you're like just trying, you know, making that conscious effort, it's like, it can be daunting.
Yeah, no. And it's funny you mention that because this is a good way for us to transition into the conversation. Well, it's all been conversational, but the part of the podcast where we catch up on our friendship and all that stuff instead of just talking about things from the past. Kurt had a baby shower.
Mm-hmm. This weekend.
Kurt and Lauren, his wife, and for their upcoming baby, obviously. So that's where we saw each other socially, and there's a lot to talk about there. But I will say this as a transitional point. I saw Abby, who runs the Riot mm-hmm. Fest that we were just talking about. And we kind of bumped into each other at the bar area. And there was I don't know Abby that well. I know her fairly well, but not that well. So there was that sort of awkward, like, hey, how you doing? Hey, just trying to get a drink. Mm-hmm. Just making a drink. What are you, you know? And then I was like, I have a sincere thing I can say to her right now. And I was just like, hey, You posted that picture of you and your boyfriend, or it might be your husband, kissing at the baseball game. And she's like, yeah, I was like, I was very touched by that. I liked that photo. Like, I hearted it on Instagram. And she was started laughing. And she's like, oh, my God. And I was like, and then you had another post about how the two of you met and, like, what he meant to you. And I was like, I liked that one, too. I was like, you guys have really nice posts.
Two things. One, yes. Like, that's, I think if you can find one earnest thing to say.
Yeah.
I think that's that makes small talk so much easier. And two, I love that your thing is just you letting her know you liked some of her Instagram posts. I touched the heart button on two of your photos.
But I touched it because the sentiment of the photo was beautiful to me. It was beautiful.
And no, that's nice. And that's what I mean. Like
it wasn't like, hey, that was a cool picture of that car. I was like, that picture like inspired me to find love. Like,
wow. Did you tell her that?
I don't know if I used the term inspired me to find love, but I do believe I did say inspire. It was inspiring.
Okay.
It was a very touching thing to see. And I sensed that there was a small, not in a bad way, but there was a small part of her that was kind of like, I wasn't expecting that to come out of your mouth right now.
Yeah.
Because I've, for so long, been the lovable grump or whatever.
Yeah.
Hopefully lovable.
The Eeyore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and then I was telling Kristen, Krishal, your partner, your comedy partner, that the same thing later. And I was like, I'm just trying not to be the guy anymore that's just like, goddamn traffic.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, nobody likes that guy. And I was like, I know, Kristen, nobody likes me. And then she's like, no, we like you. That's not what I meant. And then it got awkward because she thought I was serious.
Oh, that's too bad. But yeah, so we had people over. And also I want to bring this fact up is that I got Joe a very nice gift. And in Italy, I got a pack of DeRosa licorice root. And licorice root, it's an Italian thing. It's like a stick. You put it in your mouth and you chew on it. And then all of a sudden it tastes a little bit like licorice after a while. But it's a stick. It's definitely like a stick that then like softens up and becomes like wet and weird.
And they had a brand called DeRosa.
And they had a brand called DeRosa. And I like the licorice sticks. They're also a little stimulant. So I like use them while I write.
Yeah.
Just thought, what a kind present. He's a WAP. He'll enjoy... this Italian treat.
I'm not though by blood. I'm just adopted by Italians.
Oh, I didn't know
that. Now what you
said
was racist.
Yeah. boom. You're not even Italian?
Not by blood.
By blood. Okay. No.
But go ahead. For all intents and purposes, sure.
Time out. I didn't know you were adopted.
You didn't?
I didn't.
How have we never talked about that?
I don't know. I think it kind of takes precedent over everything right now. Do you want to talk about it or
no? I think we should dedicate our next solo episode to that.
All right.
Let's bait the listeners, but I think we have some stuff to cover with your baby shower.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, interesting.
All right, next solo episode.
Episode is about family.
Yeah, and adoption. And I'll talk to you all ad nauseum about adoption.
Okay, great. Now all of a sudden, like I was excited, and now all of a sudden I feel like I'm going to be bored.
No. You get... Wait, when we do the episode?
Yeah.
Yeah, you will be. Yeah. I'm bored right now.
So, I gave Joe this very nice treat, and what does Joe do? Joe, what did you do?
I was very excited. I tried it.
Maybe trying it for 15 to 25 seconds.
No, that's not true. I chewed on it for about 5 minutes. I said, it's starting to get like, it's breaking apart. And you're like, yeah, that's what it's supposed to do. That's when it's good. And it wasn't good. It was fucking disgusting. It's like somebody gave you a bag of dirt and was like, I thought of you because your name was on the dirt. It was four fucking sticks in a cardboard box. By the way, in the cheapest, you know when you go to the 7-Eleven at the counter, they have those pokey sticks? It was like a cheaper box than that. It looked like a man printed the boxes out on his computer and then taped them together and then put the sticks inside. But it said my name. So... I was excited because he said they're a stimulant and I was excited. We had been drinking for a while. I was like, oh, this would be a pick me up. And then I go, how much of a stimulant? And then you go, not really much of one. And
yeah, it's just like a half. It's like a little bit like ginseng or something.
You said it's
like
almost like coffee,
yeah,
which
it's
it
almost
might
like
as
coffee.
Well. I mean, that's like Jesus Christ.
What, you thought I gave you cocaine sticks or something?
I mean, but now it's just literally a stick. that I have to put in my mouth. By the way, whose flavor is not the delicious licorice? It's the black licorice flavor. And it's not even close to that. So it's not like you're getting a Twizzler stick. You're getting a Good and Plenty stick that tastes nothing like Good and Plenty. So anyway.
So 10 minutes later, it just comes up to me.
No. I'm chewing it. You say now it's when it's good. I'm like hanging in there. And then you look at me because you can tell by my face that I'm disgusted. And you go, and I'm trying to play the part. And you go, you don't like it, do you? And I go, I hate it so much. It's disgusting me. Can I please spit it out? And you said, yeah, you don't have to keep it. And I said, thank you, because I was trying to figure out a way to sneak away and throw this in the trash.
And it's like, I liked them, so I was happy to have the box back. But I love that that's that you couldn't even just take the box and bring it home. You had to give it back to me party.
That was my way of saying, I appreciate you as a friend in the gesture. Don't waste these. I will take these and throw them in the garbage. Use them. You seem to really like these things.
I do. I really
You're
like
all
them.
Excited. Kurt is in a new house, and he's got this back, it's not a back house, it's like a garage, right? That you have an office in. And every time I come over, he's extremely excited about this office and the work he's doing to it, and that he has this workspace. And then he said, the first thing he said to me when he gave me these was, I sit at my desk in my office when I'm working and I chew on it and it's great. So I thought, you take these and use them in the office you're excited about, because I'm never going to use them. I mean, they were really gross.
All right.
But
so, I mean, the idea of the shower, too, I think brings up what we kind of talked about in our first episode, which is that, I mean, I guess the fact that it's the elephant in the room is that we're starting this podcast about adult friendship, specifically ours, and I'm about to have a child. And
yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen. How are we going to... Like, I want to continue to be friends, but I just don't understand logistically how it happens.
No,
we'll
dissolve our friendship. Nobody has a baby and then goes, you know, the best part, I have more time for my friends. I'll never see you again except when we do this podcast. Yeah, I mean, it's you're just entering a different phase of your life, and
it's crazy.
But I mean, see, here's the thing, and this is the difference between acquaintances and friends. You're the kind of guy, and your wife too, who I know far less intimately than I know you, but I know Lauren well enough at this point that I definitely consider her a friend. You guys are the type of people where I could literally not see you for 6 months, and then as soon as we hung out, hey, we got a sitter, it would be totally normal again.
Yeah.
There would be no, I haven't seen Kurt in a while, like, let me feel him out. It would immediately be mocking one another and drinking and having a good time.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm not, you know, but you're entering a different phase. Selfishly, it's always a bummer when... You can't just call your buddy to go out and act like a fucking idiot the way you want to with your buddies.
But I think like, that's you know. the main thing that, like, I think I've definitely been, part of my identity has been the idiot, like the idiot of just going out and having fun. And that's now going to be just a special occasion. That's going to be a very special occasion when I can be just the idiot who goes out and just, like, goofs off.
But I also think since you've been married, it's gradually moved towards special occasion.
Right. 100%.
We got pretty loose at our buddy Vince Averill's wedding, who will be the guest on the next episode with Jesse Pop. We got pretty loose at that, but I remember feeling like, oh, cool. Like Kurt and I can like hang and really kick it tonight.
Yeah.
Because we're all staying in this hotel
together.
Far away and like nobody's got to drive. Nobody's got to get home. So I remember being excited about that. But I was excited because I was about you particularly. I was excited because I knew we hadn't been able to do it in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, it's just a different life. Like it's, you know, you get married. You have a house, you have a responsibility
yeah.
to another person that does shift from fiance to wife. You know, there's a difference there, obviously. you know, and then you guys bought a house, and then you're going to have a kid. Like, so I think it's not like this, we're hitting some hard wall of change.
No. But it's been a gradual change, and it is, because it's, of course, like, and I say that this is like my identity as an idiot, like, socially, I'm totally going to be like, still like the goof with my daughter, I think. Do you know what I mean? And I have fun with my wife all the time. It's not like,
of course,
I'm not suggesting in any way that like, oh, we'll get so bored at home or anything like that. But you know,
no, of course
there is like a, I guess there is a, it's a fear of a loss of identity, which I think happens to all, soon to be parents. And I think it'll probably be, it's an overblown fear, I bet. But I won't know, because I'm just having the fear now.
I think there's legitimacy to having the fear, but I also think it's who you are as a person going into it. You know, like, people have that same or a similar fear when they get married. And the guys that make it, you know, or the women that make it, I'm always saying guys because I identify more with the male, obviously, you know, and I know more men. I know more married men from the male perspective than I know women from the female perspective. But my point is the second in a marriage you start going like, well, dude, I'm married. That's how it goes, bro. Like, it's like, oh, you're done. Like, you're done.
Right. It has to be an evolving concept.
Yeah. It's like you've transformed, you've instantly made your identity. I'm the married guy. Gotta get, you know, and it's like, all right, dude. I know plenty of married people that still have a great time, that still have a great social time with one another.
Oh, yeah.
Without one another, you know, and they have great marriages. I know plenty of people that have kids that still have a great time socially.
Yeah.
With and without the kids.
No, I think I think we're going to be absolutely fine, my wife and I. But it is, you know, it's just, it's scary because it's new. It's just like anything.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Because you don't know what it's going to be like. You can assign all these attributes to it because it's an unknown piece.
Sure, sure. Yeah. But you guys are going to be, and I've said this to you before, and I've meant it, you guys are going to be great parents.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, of course. You know that.
I'm excited to be a dad, yeah.
It is. And I got to tell you, dude, the clock, I feel like, I just felt like my clock started ticking.
Really?
Yeah, because you guys have been married and you're about to have a kid. Again, Vince, Averill, who's a dear friend, he just moved into my building with his wife, mm-hmm. Georgia Hardsark, who also does a podcast on this. I think she does two on this network. Mm-hmm. And you're two close friends. You know, another friend of mine is certainly approaching the state of marriage, you know?
So you feel the clock, you feel the clock for marriage or you feel the clock for kids or both?
I don't have a kid clock at all. I have zero interest in having a kid.
Okay.
At least now. I really have no interest in it. The dog is enough for me.
When is the last time you had a long, like what you said the longest you had was a 9-month relationship. How long ago was that?
2003.
Wow. Okay. What's the longest you've had recently?
Oh, negligible.
Like, holy shit, for real. Okay.
I can't even think of anything.
Yeah. So you've just been like, and what, because it's not like I'm not going to say you're a ladies man, but I mean like ladies like Joe DeRosa. So like what happens? You're an LL Cool J, Joe.
LL Cool JD.
And so what happens with all these times that you meet somebody? Is there a switch in your brain that just goes, I'm not interested in anything right now, so I'm not even going to look? Or is it, are you looking and going, doesn't match up?
It's a lot of things. I mean, there's the typical thing, which is just, hey, I wasn't feeling that person, or vice versa, they weren't feeling me. Mm-hmm. So that just happens when you're
single. That just happens, yeah.
Then there is the fact that you go on the road. I go on the road a decent amount. So you're out there meeting people in other places. And I have considered once or twice, like, maybe I could have a relationship with this person that lives in wherever.
Interesting.
You know?
Really?
But then I'm always like, that scares the shit out of me.
Having a long distance thing is,
that's tough.
Toughest, man.
That's tough. I gotta be honest with you. The hardest part of it to me is the financial aspect of it. I get into the zone where I'm like, this headspace where I'm like, I don't know if I can afford to fly out to see this person frequently. And I would never have the audacity if I couldn't offer to pay for your trip,
yeah,
to say, come visit me. So I start like, I get all in my head about that part of it.
Yeah.
So like, so that's a thing. But then like, it, you know, if we're going to be completely honest, without question, some of the time go after just the really wrong person.
Okay.
You know, I go after very unavailable people sometimes. And that's a thing that I've tried to stop. I've really, in my later year or years, these last 1 or 2 years, I've really, really tried to, I'm not going to say I'm a saint and haven't had any casual encounters, but the casual encounters I've had have been very, it hasn't been like, we're shit-faced, we ended up having, you know what I mean? Like,
uh-huh.
It's, you know, or, you know, it's been very like, it's hard to explain. Like, almost like the two of us are just being like, let's go do this thing.
And see and how
we
it
both,
goes.
Yeah, and we both kind of know there probably won't be another thing, but it's okay.
All right.
You know, it's been very mature, I guess is the right word.
All right.
But I've really tried to stop, like, not even tried to stop. I have stopped. I just don't have an interest anymore in, like, meeting people randomly and, like,
right,
having these, like, one-night stand kind of flings and stuff.
Are you on,
like,
any? Are you on dating apps? Are you on Tinder or anything?
I'm on one dating app, and I can't get arrested on a dating app.
I mean,
it's just like I can't, like, that's a bad term phrase to use for when it comes to a dating app. I'm sending the dick pics. I can't get arrested. I just mean, like, I just can't, like, I've never had any luck on dating apps. Like, I just think they've all now been, I don't care how much money you pay. I don't care how many times you swipe during the day or whatever. I think they've all been kind of reduced now to just these like sort of playpens.
Right.
Where it's everybody is, no matter what anybody's saying, everybody's just kind of, and then also too, it's so goddamn involved and like you gotta send these messages.
It's a lot of time.
You know,
do you still mostly meet people? Do you mostly meet people after you do a show and people see you perform?
No, that's kind of the thing I stopped.
To stop doing
in recent years.
Because that was always a thing where it's just like people get this idea of you because they see you on stage, and there's always like this weird dynamic that's uneven. I feel like between the two people.
Yeah, no, I've narrowed my beam and or my focus, my beam of focus, and I've tried to look more healthily for the right person. But that the clock, you know, look, I don't feel like I'm on a deadline. I'm not sitting at home on Saturday nights crying. You know what I mean? Like, I meet people when I go out. I'm just trying to be more selective, and I'm trying to go out with the right person.
Yeah.
A lot of it's got to do with age, too. You know, we live in a town where it's completely unquestioned that you see like a 60-year-old person dating a 22-year-old person. Like,
yeah,
it's a weird dynamic. And look, that's fine. If you want to do that, that's fine. But like, I just found out for me that, like, you know, there's something happens at 30.
I agree 100%. I always said it. There's like a switch that happens for men and for women.
Yeah.
Where it's like before 30, you're essentially like a different species.
Mm-hmm.
You're like a lunatic. And I would just be like, after I dated a lot of people under 30, I was just like, oh, I can't do this anymore. I'm only going to date people over 30 years old.
Yeah. And those, unfortunately, for somebody in my position, it's hard to find people in their 30s that are single right
mm-hmm.
now. This is the decade where most people are married because they haven't realized yet that they've ruined their lives. And they'll get divorced, and then I'll do very well.
And then
well.
You're just waiting. You're just waiting to snatch them up.
Yeah, by the time I'm balding fully and have an irreversible gut, that's when I'll be really in business. By that time, they'll
that's
all be
what
getting
you're
divorced.
Waiting for.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, I hope, you know, I would like to put it forward so that going forward, we get updates on your search. Because now that we all know that your clock is ticking, because I didn't even know you had a clock. I didn't know you had a relationship clock. To now know that it's ticking, I want to hear updates. I want your mission is to go out and look and come back and report.
I am looking. I'm
all
not
right.
actively. You can't actively
I want you to,
look
you
because
can't?
Then you, no, you can't because okay. that's when you go. This person could be a girlfriend. You know, like you
hi,
can't do that.
Hi.
But you meet somebody interesting. You talk. You say, hey, maybe this could. Yeah. I don't know. We'll talk. Maybe we'll talk again. Maybe we'll go out. I don't know. That's kind of how you have to do it. So I will give you updates, and we'll also get much more into this stuff when we have the adoption episode because you know, then we'll get into all the intimacy and abandonment issues that come along with an adopted.
Can't wait. Guys, thanks for listening to Emotional Hangs. That's I'm Kurt Brownler.
I'm Joe DeRosa.
Thank you to Farrell for having us.
Thanks, Farrell. Quick plugs. I don't know when this comes out, but my Comedy Central special, our special, You Let Me Down, either is premiering or did premiere on February 3rd at midnight. Re-airs February 5th at 1 a.m. and February 7th, the album and the download of the video special hit the stores and the shop. So go check that out. I'm very proud of it. Joe DeRosa Comedy on Twitter and Instagram.
And I have my Comedy Central hour-long special is out March 3rd and probably a similar schedule for all those other things, but we don't know yet. So, yeah, thanks for listening. See you next time. Audio.